Blog Talk Radio.
So sad to see you go so soon. I know that you ain't coming back. In the beginning, everything was cool. Towards the end of it all, it's all bad. I know that you did the same. I guess I'm out of here. I'm moving on again. I'm sure that you will understand. I play by the rules, you play by the game. I couldn't have stayed. It's easier to say. 'Cause I was by your side when you went through the pain. I guess it doesn't matter now that you're so far away. And every minute you're gone, I'm missing your soul. I can't believe that you're far away.
Great morning, great morning. Welcome to Faith Focused Fitness Blog Talk Radio. We're on Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to noon. So I'm super excited. I got a guest speaker today. Just a couple of announcements. If you're looking for advertisement, If you're looking for advertisement, promotion, commercials, radio interviews, or radio spins, maybe you're an author or life coach and you're looking to expand either your business or you want to get your book out there, you can contact me, Faith Lane, at faithfocusedfitness@gmail.com. And just to let you know, this is a global platform, so we do have countries listening in from Ghana, Morocco, India, Nigeria, Trinidad, Europe, Canada, South America, North America, Philippines. That's just some of the countries that we have listening in. Today's guest will be Miss Anitra Lane. We're going to be talking with her shortly. On Wednesday, we have Miss Nikki Easton. She's a motivational speaker, entrepreneur, producer, a model. She's actually known as the androgynous model. So if you want to look her up on YouTube, you can look her up. We're going to be talking with her on Monday. So I'm just super excited to have her on here. And I want to introduce Ms. Anitra Lane. She's the executive virtual business manager. She's actually the CEO of her own company. I'm a retired U.S. military veteran of 25 years. So I'm super excited for her to, you know, to be on the show and share with us her business, what she's doing, and seeing how she's enjoying retirement. So, Ms. Anitra Lane, are you there?
I am. Good morning. Good morning. How is everyone?
Great morning. Sunshine.
So funny.
Ms. Anitra Lane, actually, she's related to me. She's my cousin. And so, you know, we, one of the few entrepreneurs that's in our business, so I'm so proud of her, you know, expanding her business and getting her and not letting fear keep her from building her business. So I'm super excited about you, Ms. Anitra Lane.
Yes, Ms. Faye, Auntie Pooh. How was your weekend?
Girl, it was exciting until I heard about that news about Kobe, and I'm telling you, it just threw me for a loop. It's not even just about Kobe, but all the people that died, and it was family that died on that plane, on that helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
And his baby on top of it, so I can't even imagine what his wife and his other daughters are going through.
I hear you. Yeah, very, very sad news. That was hard, you know, for a lot of people. Whether, you know, you were close to him or not, he was still a very prominent person in his community and in our community. So, you know, it makes it hard when we lose any of ours.
Right.
So tragically. But, you know,
right.
I've always believed that, you know, God has a path for everybody. We just don't always know what our path is or
mm-hmm.
what our lifespan is. And
right.
so he don't make no mistakes. And it's hard for us that are the people living in the end, you know, to comprehend and grasp that because of the pain, the physical pain that we feel and the emotional pains that we feel. So, yeah, my heart goes out to him, his family, and all the families that had that loss yesterday. So
right.
I, on the other hand, had an awesome weekend.
Okay.
But before I get to that, let me just talk about a little bit about myself. So I'm married. I have four adult children. We see, and it's funny when you say adult children, people are like, you said adult children. Okay. I have four young adults. But they still my babies,
right.
my children.
Right.
So, and I have one grandchild.
Okay.
I have, I'm very family oriented in a lot of ways. I have a lot of cousins and stuff like that, not just by marriage, but just in blood relations. So I'm a very family oriented person. I love helping other people. I'm a techie nerd, if that's what you want to call me. You know, when you think techie, I think of the person with the glasses, you know, and the pocket holder with all the ink pens. Because, you know, back in the days, the nerdy people, that's what they had. You know, the little bow tie, maybe. Not women, but
right.
they still had they share of pens and the whatnot. So I'm a very technology-driven person. And so that's really like me, like I'm that techie person, techie jargon. And you'd be like, come back. Cause I don't have a clue what you just said. Now say that
right.
in layman's term, it's almost like you talking to the doctor and they're giving you those big words and you're like, well, what in the world? Okay. So did you say I dislocated my knee? Is that what you said at the end of the day? So, I'm quirky. I have a funny sense of humor. I tell people I really am an introvert, but I have these extrovert tendencies. I am not a social butterfly. It may seem that way, but I am not a social butterfly. I have a real tight knit group of friends, girlfriends, people that I hang with, my go-to people. So I really am. I see one of my brother-in-laws, he says, you're not an introvert, you're just shy. Okay, I'm shy. So when I'm in a group of people that I'm not comfortable with, and you see me like I'm quiet, I'm sitting in the back, I'm observing, some of those are traits from being in the military. Some of those are traits of being a PTSD survivor. But some of those are traits that just came with me as I grew up.
Right.
So, I mean, it's life. You know, we all say, I'm an introvert. Now, do I have to be around people? I do not have to be around people. I'm cool
right.
by myself. Believe it.
Right.
But I have chosen to train myself. We have to train ourselves to do things. And
okay.
so I've trained myself specifically to make sure that I get out and I talk to people because that's me getting out of my comfort zone. Now, people have seen me, you know, around different places, and sometimes a person will see me and I'm not smiling. That doesn't mean I'm not happy. It just means I may just be laser focused on a certain thing or what I'm doing at that time. And so I'm like, I'm getting in, doing what I need to do, and I keep it moving. And so I've had people say, dang, you look like a beautiful woman, but you're not smiling. Why are you not smiling? I'd be like, because I'm on a mission right now. I'm focused on something, but let me go ahead and give you this, hey, how you doing, and then keep it moving.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So.
You don't sound shy to me.
Well, because you family, so we've been around for a while. So, let's talk about, a little bit about my business. Because that's what we hear. We're on Blog Talk Radio. Faith-focused finish, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And so one of the things I know you and I had talked about, you asked me how I came up with the name for my business. So we'll talk about the name of my business first. One of the things is, as an entrepreneur and anybody in business, you go through the process of thinking, well, what am I going to call my business? What is a good business name? So then you might do a little just throwing names up in the air to figure out which one feels good for you. Then you might get some opinions from other people about what names feel good for you. Well, for me, the name that I chose is actually my maiden name. My maiden name is Akis, A-C-K-I-S-S. So, and that maiden name stems from my father. Now, we all know we get our DNA from our fathers. We may not, some of us may have our issues with our parents and the whatnot. And no one is perfect as a parent. We all learn to be parents and we grow. But when I think about leaving a legacy to my children, my family is a very matriarchal family. So we got more women than we have men, which can be true of a lot of families. But I know that my father in his family, again, very matriarchal, but still I looked at him as the man of the house. So the other part of that is it's not a common name. Akis is not a common name. You might see something like At, A-T, K-I-S-S, different variations of it, but to actually see Akis is not very common. Unless, let me put this disclaimer, unless you in Virginia, because that's where my father's name originated. If you go down in Virginia, you'll see that part of my family. I don't know them.
But that's just that's the same thing as for, like, on my side. I have, it's like, it's thousands of lanes out there. some in the area of Buffalo, New York, some down in the southern part of Georgia. We know of each other, but we don't actually know each other. So I get it.
Yeah. So, but not only that, now that I'm talking to you, and like I said, the Atkins part is the legacy that I'm leaving for my children, and it overall will be a conglomerate at the end of the day. You got Trump Towers. Wow. Okay. So other people have used their name sometimes in a variety of ways in their businesses. So that's what I've done with mine. But I also like to use acronyms. And so when I think about ACKIS, I say my acronym for ACKIS would be a clear, keep it simple solution. It's just that easy.
Okay.
A, C, clear. K, keep it. Keep. I, it. Simple. S, solution. S, ACKIS. That's what it is for me.
Okay.
So, you know, if you want a keep it clear solution, if that helps you remember, awesome.
Okay.
So, when a lot of people will say they may be looking for a virtual assistant, right? And so my business is a virtual management company. So not too long ago, I'm in a group, a VA group, right? So if I ask the person about a VA, people in business have no idea what a VA is, most people. Excuse me. And some people, when you say VA, they'll think you're talking about the Veterans Administration. Not that either. But I'm in a group, and the lady was doing a live, and she was talking about virtual assistants. And what she said was, a lot of people look at a virtual assistant as an administrative person or a person that just does your admin stuff, right? Because when you think of an assistant, you think of somebody that's assisting you with your work, you know, like almost like a secretary or something like that. So
right. She
said the actuality is virtual assistant is actually an industry. And so what she was talking about was how the name, your business, even though you may do virtual assistant work, that is actually an industry. Just like being a doctor is an industry. You know what I'm saying? So she was like, when you go to name your business, name it something that's reflective of what you do. So even though you may be a virtual assistant, you may be into social media. So you may be a social media marketer.
Okay.
Make sure that you add that somewhere into your business so people know that that's what you do, right?
Okay.
So when it comes to mine, ACKIS Virtual Management, I virtually manage people's businesses with them and for them.
Okay.
So that's where it comes from, you know, like I said, the first part is a generational wealth building, you know, what I'm leaving as a legacy. Virtual is because you don't have to touch and feel me per se, but you will have an experience in which it's like we're together, we're sitting right there, because I use some different tools so that you can see me and I can see you. And so you're looking at me and I can look at you. And management is basically helping you manage what you already have. Sometimes we fall into categories where we have so many things going on that it becomes unmanageable. And so you need somebody to help you manage it.
Right. And I can attest to that because I know, you know me, I've been having multiple businesses going at one time, and I'm like, oh, Lord. So I get where you're coming from when it comes to that part of helping the actual business owner manage their business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we have
a couple of callers on the line, and I just want to mention to the callers I will be opening up the lines in a few minutes for any questions. So if you could just be patient, we'll be right with you. Okay, Anitra, what were you saying? I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just talking about the management part and the difference when you think words. So sometimes there's a play on words. So you treat a manager different than you do an assistant, right?
Right.
If you think about it, the assistant, you're going to treat the principal different than you treat the secretary outside his door, right?
Right.
It's a different level.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so when you're in business and you own that business and it is your baby, then when you look for somebody to assist you, it might be, okay, I want you to do this, this, and this. But when you look for somebody to help you manage what you have, it's different. It's a different level of responsibility that you give that person. It's a different level mm-hmm. of trust that you have for that person. So when I think about what makes my business different than other virtual assistant business, it's that piece right there, that management piece, because I'm managing with you. It's a team effort. There's no I in team. So we're going to work together. And I'm not an employee. And sometimes people will say, I got an assistant as though that assistant is their employee and have a mentality in which they talk and work with that person as an employee. But I'm not an employee.
Right.
I am a business owner like you're a business owner. So let's talk woman to woman, woman to man, whatever that looks like, on a level that is based on mutual respect. And so we can get things done because I'm all about executing. I was telling someone recently that I have this thing called pie. You want a piece of the pie. Because as a business owner, we plan, we implement, and we execute. But some people only plan, they implement, and never get to the execution. Or they do a lot mm-hmm. of planning, a lot of implementing, and they only execute one of the 7 to 10 things they might need to get done. And sometimes it's because you start your business, it's different than everybody else's, and it starts to grow. And then it grows, and it grows, and it grows faster than you can keep up with, which is not a bad thing. But
right.
sometimes you have to anticipate planning in that growth for someone to assist you. For someone to manage you, you already know, I need somebody that, if I'm not available, they got this. I need somebody
right.
that will treat my baby like it's their baby. And sometimes
right.
I have to catch myself because I'll be with a client and I'll be like, and when we do this and we do this and we, and I'm like, okay, hold on. It's your stuff. So when I say we, I mean as we working together as
exactly.
a cohesive team to make this work. It's still your baby, but me adding to your team is an asset. So
right.
ultimately, that's when you talk about Atkins Virtual Management, that's really what it's about. It's about having someone help you manage the unmanageable in your business. So,
I'll tell you one thing. I hear the passion in your voice about your business and helping other people build their business. Hopefully, mm-hmm. you can get some people we can help that's on the line and that's listening to the station to help build your business, to help build theirs. And I know that's the game plan for you. And I hear the passion in your voice. The only people that's business owners that's passionate about what they do can only hear that passion. So I like that. Yes, ma'am.
Right.
I'm gonna open up the line. I'm gonna open up the line for a quick second, see if anybody have any questions, okay?
Okay.
Hi callers. We have a couple of callers on the line from 314 and 917 area code. Do you have any questions you wanna ask Ms. Anitra? Can you hear me? We have a couple of callers from 314 and 917 area code.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. If you have any questions for Ms. Anitra, you know the lines are open.
My biggest question is, what do you find to be the most challenging thing with working with entrepreneurs once they figure out what you really do?
I find that the most challenging thing is getting them through the trust factor. Because as an entrepreneur, you know your business is your baby. That's what I say. Your business is your baby. And entrepreneurs sometimes have a hard time letting go of their baby or letting someone help them with their baby because they're used to doing things a certain way. And so it takes a very, very strong person to say, okay, I'm going to breathe and I'm going to let you do this and we're going to talk about it together and see how you want it done. And then you can just let go. Because I'm going to tell you, I have a control issue, right? But I don't have a control issue when it comes to other people's business. I have a control issue with my own business, but other people's business, I can see where some entrepreneurs have control issues of their own. And so it's hard to let go because I've been there. I've been that, okay, you want me to do what? And then come back and be like, no, you should have did like this, 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 and this. And I had to pull back and allow the person to do what they were going to do. And so that would be one of the biggest challenges is getting through that trusting factor with the entrepreneur to get them to let go of their baby enough to allow for the assistance to be there.
And then I just have one other question, if you don't mind.
Oh.
So what do you think is the number one thing that, or I'm not you think, but what is the number one thing that you would prefer that entrepreneurs came to you had in place once they decide that they want to hire you that would make it a smoother transition? Because I would imagine that a lot of people, they come to you a mess, but there's some things that they probably could have better control over so that they're better ready to actually put a virtual manager in position to help them with their business baby. You know, like I wouldn't send my
that
baby to the I went to the daycare without diaper wipes, Pampers, a change of clothes, and, you know, whatever. So
one of the things for me is that I get that people are unorganized sometimes. Sometimes they're so organized, they're really unorganized. But when knowing your own business, being able to tell me what it is about your business that is causing you the biggest issues and coming to the table open and honestly about that and actually saying, okay, so I know this, 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 and this about my business, and I know how to do this, this, this. Like, I know how to do social media. I just don't do it well. I know how to write copy. I just don't like to do it. Coming to me already knowing those things makes things go a lot smoother and easier when you already do know your business. It's when you don't know your business that a person like me would go into a coaching mode, which is going to cost you more because now I got to coach you through some stuff. And we really have to work through some things. Now, there are some things that I don't do. Like if you have a mindset issue or something like that, there's some things I ain't going to be able to help you with. And I know that and I know my lane. And so I will readily help you understand that that's outside my lane. And you may need to get assistance somewhere else for that. But really knowing your business yourself, for the most part, is what I prefer. And those are the people that I really do work well with. Go ahead. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
So I know when I first came into entrepreneurship myself, I knew that I was coming from what I was used to being taught. So what I liked about it was that they helped me understand that it's going to be times that you need to go read a book or mentor from someone that already, you know what I'm saying, that already has the mindset. Because, yes, it is difficult to work with people if they're not working on their actual mindset. And so it's all, even as an entrepreneur, business owner, it's always good to continue to keep reading and keep yourself focused on personal development. So, yeah, I could kind of relate to that part too, because I know my mentors and coaches, when I first started, it was definitely a fight, a tug of war with us. And I did lose. Once they start slapping them books on me, okay, you need to read this book because this is what you're struggling with. And then at the same time, I can understand that that's not a part of your business plan. So they need to hear that's a good thing. That's good. And make sure that just let people know that that's the thing that they probably have to work on, because you cannot help them with that part. They got to be willing to help yourself.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes even helping themselves means that maybe they go out and they get them a coach that specializes in certain things to help them. Heck, even myself as an entrepreneur, I got a coach. I know my strengths and I know my weaknesses. And then even knowing your strengths, you might find some weaknesses you didn't know you had. And so for me, I have a tribe of women that help me stay on course. I have a coach that gets in my behind when I get to lacking and different things like that. But I have a coach that's with love. I've had a few coaches, and it took me to go through a couple of coaches to figure out the previous coaches weren't actually giving me what I needed. They were giving me a cookie cutter version of what they were sharing with everyone else, and it wasn't tailor-made for me. And, you know, that's another thing as an entrepreneur, understanding what's tailor-made for you. What's made specifically to help you in your journey and where you're at. And so even with coaches, when you're in the service industry, sometimes you really have to pay attention to the coach that you get, because you may get a coach that's used to working with other coaches and things like that and not somebody in an industry like what I do. And so there's nothing wrong with seeking out help yourself. And like you said, personal and professional development, that's important as an entrepreneur. So we all do it. At least I do it. I ain't gonna say we all do it, because some people are, what would I say? I don't want to say uncoachable, because I think people are coachable if they choose to be. We have to make choices, and sometimes we make choices, even the hard choices, that we don't want to make. So, but one, I know we were. Look, I'm getting ready. Backtrack. No. What we were talking, because I'm looking at some of the stuff we had talked about, and one of the things would be, I remember when I first got in, right? So I thought I had to have some credentials, right? Entrepreneur, I'm in business. I want people to work with me. So I'm thinking I need some credentials. So, you know, sometimes we get out here and we go and we get all these college degrees and certifications and all of these things. And then I have somebody tell me, don't nobody give a damn about that. They want to know what your work ethic. Because in some areas, there are going to be some entrepreneurs who, yes, it is very critical. But there are going to be some entrepreneurs where nobody cares about that. They want to know, can you do the work? Can you do what they're looking for as a manager or as someone who assists people? What do you bring to the table? And so I say that because when I have my I have an introduction when people sign up. I really do go back and introduce myself. I have a picture of me, and I talk about my life before being an entrepreneur. And my life before being an entrepreneur was 26 years, 10 months, and 24 days in the military. So I had a military career, and I retired. I had goals that – when I was like 17, I was like, I only got to be in the military 20 years. I can retire at 37. And I'll be the youngest retired person in America. You know, at 17, you'd be thinking all kinds of stuff. So that was my goal and my mindset and my thought process back then. But it ended up being 26, almost 27 years of service time before I retired, which was fine. Some people will say, why didn't you go 30 years? Well, I didn't really need 30 years to get to where I needed to be. And even at that point, I think I'm a very spiritual person. So I had been having some conversations with God, and then God was putting some doors up, some blocks, because it was time for me to do something different. I just couldn't see it at the time. And I was fighting. I was fighting fiercely because I had a goal set in my mind to make an E9 or Chief Master Sergeant in the Air Force. And so that's what I wanted. That was my whole focus. My laser focus was I'm going to make E9. However, God had different plans for me. And I was fighting the process. Boy, I was fighting it hard. And I just had to bend down and bow down to the process. Like, he was like, I keep closing these doors for a reason, even though you keep doing silly stuff. You still out here applying for jobs all over the place? No, that's not. It's time for you to go. You have served your country. You have served it well with diligence, professionalism, pride. You have been educated by them. There have been some good points and some bad points, and it's time for you to go. And so I finally just bowed down, and I got out. And after I retired, I spent 2 years trying to go back. So now I'm going to go back as a contractor, which when I think about it now, I laugh. I'm like, I'm still trying to be part of the military. One way, by hook or by crook, I was still going to do it. And so even that, after 2 years of going back, working on the same base, working with the same type of people, even after that, it was like, okay, this is not for you, because you really don't want to work for anybody else. You really have what it takes to work for yourself. And is it going to be easy? Some days it'll be easy peasy. Some days you're going to have some things that you have to work through and you're going to struggle through. But when you ask, I will give. When you ask, you will receive. And so what I did was I ventured out to be a virtual manager. And like I said, when I first started, it was like virtual assistant. But when I would tell people I was a VA, they was like, okay, so what do they do? What is that? What's a virtual assistant? And I was like, okay, Let me clarify. I'm not a virtual assistant. I'm a virtual manager. But a lot of people really don't know what the industry is, what it actually does, how it serves people. And so for me, that was a learning that I needed to do on my professional self as far as being an entrepreneur happened. And so it's been a great journey. And even during that journey, there have been those times where I've wanted to give up. But that's not the person I am. And so there have been those times where I didn't have people in my corner. You can't take everybody with you. My excitement is not everybody else's excitement. My passion is not everybody else's passion for my business. And sometimes those are hard pills to swallow. When you want to bring people with you or share your excitement, and they're not as excited as you are.
You know,
listen. I mean, you have those moments where you run into financial difficulties. Now, granted, mine might not have been the same as other people's, but it doesn't mean I didn't have them. And so people are like, well, then you should just go get a job. I had one friend that we would talk, and every day she'd be like, so when you get ready to come back on base, I'm not. Like, you sure? Like, I can hook you up with a job. I don't want one. These are like my answers, because I was like, I have a path and I know where I'm supposed to be. I just have to do the things that I'm supposed to do. And they don't include coming back to base, not getting a job back in corporate America, because I've done that. I did my time. Now it's time for me to do what I was purposed on this earth to do. And it's something different.
Yeah.
And so I'm learning in my journey. This weekend I was with an awesome group of women, and we did a conference for other women. It was the Go Green conference, and it was basically grow, grind, and glow. And so some fantabulous speakers got up there, and we just poured into other women entrepreneurs. And it's funny because there were some people there that weren't entrepreneurs, but they were support systems. But
right.
They got it. They understood what it means to support an entrepreneur. And then some of them was like, but I have ideas to be an entrepreneur. Great. See, you came and you got poured into so much that your creativity is going to now come out of you. And
so
maybe one day you'll be on the same journey. Hmm?
Yeah. So a lot of people, they think that supporting means that they got to buy the person product all the time. You don't have to also buy the product, but or whatever it is that that person doing, but it's about being there for that person, whether it might be to go to a convention or maybe help them with referral, or you hear somebody talking about things like, oh, I need somebody to help me with my business. Oh, I know a lady named Anisha. She, you know what I'm saying? Like giving referrals to people to that that person can help. So supporting
uh-huh.
is a lot of different ways. So I like that they, you know, had people that was there that wasn't entrepreneurs, that wasn't in the business, but they were there to support.
Yeah, it was very, very phenomenal. And
right.
like I said, I have a tribe of women that are phenomenal that push me past my comfort zone, that allow me to, when you have those moments of fear or doubt, they come in and be like, okay, girl, you know you got this. You know, those motivations. Now, don't get me wrong. You do have to motivate yourself. So you can't just wait for somebody else to motivate you all
yeah.
the time. So you do have to have your own sense of purpose, know where you're going and how you're going to get there, have a path. And sometimes it's just like in life, the straight path might not always be the path that you end up taking. You might have to veer off and come back around. But
mm-hmm.
it's a journey. And it's one of those journeys that for me is very spiritual. Because I was telling one of my girlfriends, I have these conversations and I said, I'm going to do this post. Me, God, and the shower. Some revelations happen with me in the shower. And it's always, when I go in the shower, I have lots of conversations with God. But me and God be having conversations and revelations be happening. And so I was like, me, the shower, and God, let me come out and write down everything. I was like, I need to get a recorder. So when I'm having these conversations with God, I can come back and be like, yeah, we talked about this. We talked about this. But I have some revelations, and I'm not talking about just epiphanies. I'm talking about, okay, Anitra, you know that you need to do this and you might need to change something up. Or you had that moment of doubt and now you're saying, God, help me go through this. What is it that I need or what am I doing wrong? And sometimes those revelations come at that moment and sometimes they come later. But they're always a conversation that I've had with God. And I can even tell you, even before I was an entrepreneur, my spirituality and my faith in God has always been strong because I'm in Georgia. And so when I moved to Middle Georgia, I moved here, I say a wish and a prayer, right? I moved here on a prayer. I didn't have a full-time permanent job, and I had a husband, three children, and we were moving to a state that I had no family. So when I got here, the job I had was just a weekend job because I was in the National Guard. So it was just a weekend job. But I prayed about it, and God opened doors that I didn't know would open for me, which ended up being the rest of my 20 years of being in the military. I spent most of it here in Georgia.
Okay.
But that day when I moved, I didn't have anything. Then when I got here, I only could stay in the housing they have temporary housing on the base. I could only stay for 30 days. Again, I went back, bowed down, and was like, God, where are we going to stay? Because I had been applying for places, and I didn't have the best of credit. My husband didn't have income, so there's a balance that you have to find. And so I didn't have any of that. And I bowed down, and I was like, God, what am I going to do? He opened up those doors. And so it's funny when I go back and I think of a lot of the things that have happened on my journey before entrepreneur and just in life. And I'm like, every time I've asked, I've received, and I've done due diligence. And I've always believed in my faith and been faithful to my faith. So that for me has always been one of those things that when I went to God and I said, God, I know I was fighting the process over here and over there, and you're telling me to do something different.
Wow.
But I'm getting clients, you know, entrepreneur, I'm getting clients, but they're not exactly the clients that I'm looking for. I said, so can you send me someone to help me through this? And he sent me someone. And then that someone guided me and helped me with things that I was struggling with, showed me a path that I could take, talked to me about connecting with people, and it's not all about the money, which it never was for me, because I was doing pro bono. I was giving everybody. I was helping everybody for free. Well, free is not going to get you. It's not going to get you to millionaire status. So giving away my intellectual property and showing people everything that I felt like they needed, once I would talk to them and know that they were missing things in their business, I was like, oh, okay, if you use this and this, and we can do this and this and this, but nobody had money. So in the beginning of my journey, I was running into people that I would say didn't have money, but let me rephrase that. They had money for the things they wanted to have money for. It just wasn't me, because I was giving away services so that they would have be better positioned in their businesses. And so it took a couple of good slaps upside the head, a couple tears, and some other things, and then I came right on out of that.
But the thing is that you're going to be rewarded one day. And with you staying focused on what you're doing and helping other people, it's going to help you. You're going to see it, because a lot of times, you know, when people start their business, they think it's going to jump off anyway, like in the first week or two anyway. But I see you continue to push, so I know that it's going to pop one day. I always tell people, and we got 12 minutes left of the show, but I always tell people that I'm talking about my particular situation is like popcorn. Like, you know, when you put popcorn in the microwave, it's going to pop, pop, pop. And then once it pop, 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 it's going to be popping. And so I see that in you when I watch you build your business. So it's going to pop, and it's going to pop when you least expect it. And then it's going to be to the point that you're going to have your feet kicked up, and like, okay, now I can enjoy the fruits of my labor. So that's what I like about watching you in your business and being around the women, that the powerful women that you're around. Now, that right there is inspiration in itself. So many powerful women come together. We have a couple of callers on the line. If you have any questions you want to ask before we close out, I have a couple of things I want to ask Anitra. I see a 678 number, 917, 703 number, 716. If you have any questions, your lines are open. Okay. So, Ms. Anitra, let me ask you this. I don't know if I asked you this question before or if I even told you what I was going to ask you, but if you could, we have 10 minutes left. If you could say anything to the, because we're talking on a global platform, so if you could say anything, if you could say anything to the world, what would you say to them about entrepreneurship, about, you know, family, whatever it is you want to talk about? We have 9 minutes left now, so what would you say? Wait a minute, hold on. We got another call that just jumped on from 952. Area code 952. Do you have any questions you want to ask, Ms. Anitra?
They probably like, I just jumped on, girl.
952?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, this is actually 917.
Okay.
But yes, ma'am. Hi, Aditra. My question is just, you've been saying a lot, is how you mitigate expectations, you know, because if some folks are like, oh, I'm going to hire a virtual manager now, it's smooth sailing for me. So mitigating those expectations and what it is that you do and what it is that you expect from them, you know what I mean, as someone who's coming to hire you and your services.
Okay. Say it for me one more time. I got the mitigation part, but what do I expect from them? Because I was like,
yeah, what do you expect from them and how do you manage their expectations? Because they might be like, okay, great, I can handle all of this stuff to you and, you know, I'm good. The opposite of the people who don't want to let go of their baby, the ones who are maybe a little eager to be like, whew, okay, here's the stuff. Go, you know. How do you manage their expectations and what expectations do you have of them?
Okay, so how do I manage their expectations and what expectations do I have of them? So that's the reason why part of my process is like an interview process, like a job, so that there's clarity on both sides of the relationship so that I understand exactly what they want. Because, see, when a person be like, whew, I'm just going to let it go, and then you take it, you give it to me, and I run with it, I'm good. But what I also do is make sure that we have weekly conversations so that I don't run with it like it then became my business, because it's not my business. It's still your business. It's me helping you manage your business. Be it, I'll give you an example. I've done a business launch with some individuals before. And in that launch, they were like, okay, we need these things. We need business cards. We're going to throw a party. We need to send out some e-vites. And we went through all of these things. We need our social media sites put up. It was a bunch of stuff. And so I had sat down and I said, okay, this is kind of how my process goes. I do things in threes. And so no matter how big the project is, if we have to break certain areas down in threes, we get them done. And that's how I do that. But I also let them know that, again, it's still your business. And so I'm going to be respectful that it's your business and we're going to work together and collaborate together on your business. So I never want anyone to think that because I'm managing for you that it became my business. I'm going to treat it in some ways like mine, but at the end of the day, it is yours. And I want to make sure that we are on the same page and that there is clarity of what you expect from me. And in the same, I expect that we work together and that we're communicating regularly on the projects that are happening. So communication is a very big, big key for me when working with anyone, because it's easy to not have clarity sometimes, and then the communication gets skewed, and then somebody on one end is not happy about something because you weren't clear.
So we have some more calls on the line. We have a few more minutes from 41404 and 952. Do you have any quick questions you want to ask? Okay. So, Ms. Anitra, to get back to my question, if you could say anything to the world to help motivate them, or whatever, just speak whatever you want to speak to the world, because we're on a global platform, what would you say to the world about business, family, entrepreneurship, whatever? 5 minutes left.
Okay. So let's talk, like I was saying earlier, we talked about entrepreneurship, and it's a journey. It's an individual journey. But not only as an individual journey, there are people that are meant to help you. There are people that are meant to be in your life on this journey. And there are people that are not meant to be there. You have to be able to discern those people and keep pushing through. When you think there's nobody in your corner, God's always in your corner. Whoever it is that you serve, that person, that spirituality, they're in your corner. and they're helping you go as far as you're supposed to go, because you're here for a purpose. You're put on earth for a purpose, and your purpose is not always all about you. Some people run into some selfish things. And so what I will also say is that at Access Virtual Management, I use the word help, and I'm slowly getting away from the word help. I provide services that assist people with doing things in their business, be it social media, be it your email marketing, very special projects like creating e-courses, because there are some people that have a lot of intellectual property and content that just don't know how to get it out there. And sometimes a short e-course will do that for you, especially if you're a person that's so shy. You still have to understand that you have to connect with people, because people ain't just going to buy from you just because you say you're Jane Sue. Jimmy Fallon, I mean, he has a name and a reputation. But Jennifer Jones, we don't know who Jennifer Jones is. So there are some things you still have to do. But you can create courses and you can get on social media platforms. And one of the things is, as an entrepreneur, you might want to budget. You should add to your budget assistance, whether that's right now or long term. And if it's not in your budget, ask. Sometimes you can get the most profound help just from asking someone. Even I got a referral a couple of weeks ago from a friend that referred me to someone else, and she gave me the number. I did the connect, and I was golden from there. One of the things that I sometimes prefer people not to do, and sometimes most of the time, is don't tell people what my business is, because sometimes you can't explain everything in detail. I'm a virtual manager.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And say, I know somebody who works with social media or who does email marketing, but I had someone try to explain my business to other people, and they couldn't. And I think that sometimes that does a disservice to people. Now, if I tell you I know a coach, they do a lot of things, let me just give you a number. I may know somebody that does those things. I don't want to tell you exactly what their business is, because they can explain their business better than I can.
Right.
So.
And that's where a lot of people have issues with their businesses, because someone else tried to explain it and they don't know how to explain it. So just so you know what, I know somebody that can actually help you out with that. I don't know exactly what she did, but here's her number and call, and she can explain it better. Now, Ms. Anisha, we have 2 minutes left. How can people get in contact with you? Do you have any websites, phone numbers? We have 2 minutes left before it's over.
Okay, so you can reach Access Virtual Management. I have a website. It's www.acusvm.com.
Spell that out for us, please.
www.acusvm.com. I'm also on Facebook at Access Virtual Management LLC. I can be found on Instagram at anitra.avm. I
can
be reached. Oh, I'm sorry. Anitra, anitra.avm. I can be reached at area code 478-239-0299. Or if you want direct, I kind of know I need some help, you can go to http://bit.ly/ELP(m)e.
All right, guys, that's Ms. Anitra Lane, Executive CEO of Virtual. She's a virtual business manager, and I would just want to thank you for coming on Facebook. It's been Blog Talk Radio, And we'll be talking to you soon. Have a great evening. Thank you, Ms. Anitra.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a great one. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Yeah.